Well, howdy, everybody.
It's great to be back in the real world. It's been a little bit of an interesting trip for me today. United Airlines did their normal to me and canceled my 7 o'clock flight, so I had to scramble and catch an 8 o'clock flight and then get a ride up here, and then I'll do the other 1,300 miles going back at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Anyway, it's great to be with you here today. I want to thank Marilyn for the nice introduction. It's great to be part of the Brian Rotary Newman 10 Business Performance Awards Luncheon. I'm looking forward to seeing which of you and where you rank. I think you know who you are in terms of the ones that are going to get the awards today, but I'm curious to see where you rank. And I'm also looking forward to those who the company that will take home the ANCO Lifetime Business Achievement Award and the Research Valley Partnership Rising Star Award. Today we're here to honor successful business leaders and their companies. But first of all, I want to talk about the macroeconomic environment for a few minutes. So I'm going to be a doggy downer for a couple of minutes, but then I think there's something positive to say toward the end. As a pilot, I always think about things in aeronautical terms. And so when it comes to business, I believe that Washington should always try to adopt the policies that provide tailwinds for the business community, for our community in general. Unfortunately, today, Washington is creating huge headwinds for employers and for their employees. And the headwinds are the result of a number of things, but I'll just run through a few of what I consider to be the biggest and most challenging. First is an uncompetitive tax policy. Second is an out-of-control regulatory regime. We've got an unbalanced litigation environment. We've got a bad health care law that's driving huge increases in premiums to small businesses. Believe me, I'm hearing from you every day about that as you're getting your premium notices. We've got friction in the cap. Those of you that are community bankers, you had nothing to do with the meltdown in 2007, 2008. But we've got a law called Dodd-Frank that's putting a lot of friction into the capital markets today, which is making it harder for you to finance the successful small businesses in our community. We've got an unsustainable federal budget that's due to bankrupt entitlement programs and due to slow economic growth as well. We don't have a 21st century energy policy for this country. And we've got the uncertainty that's weighing on people's minds today because they feel like we're more vulnerable because our national security is not what we're comfortable with. And we seem like we've lost our leadership in the international community. And then, lastly, we don't have a good, coherent national trade policy for free and fair trade internationally. Now, these issues are manifesting themselves in an unemployment rate, a U6 unemployment rate, which is the one I pay attention to, of almost 11%. If you put that in people terms, that means one out of every nine Americans is either unemployed, underemployed, or has given up looking for work. They're further reflected by low labor force participation rate of 62.9%, which, to put that in historical context, those are the types of rates we had during the disastrous economic policies of Jimmy Carter. That's the bad news, and I'm going to try to stay off of the bad news from now on. There's help on the way in Washington, and we're making some progress. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I want to talk about the businesses that are represented by many of you in this room and business entrepreneurs all across the nation. As many of you know, before I ran for Congress in 2010, I was the CEO and co-founder of a mid-sized oil and gas company. And that company had $170 million in revenues, had a $100 million annual CapEx budget, and about a $5 million payroll. And the reason that's important in my current role is because I know firsthand what good policies and bad policies, or no policies in some cases, do to American business. And I know the headwinds that they put in front of you. And I know what those bad decisions will do in terms of making it harder for you to generate good jobs and paychecks for hardworking American families. And because of that real-world experience, I understand that dedication and hard work are needed to run a successful business. And those of us in this room that have led or are currently leading these companies know firsthand it takes incredible grit and determination to run a flourishing business. You also know that you have to produce a better product or deliver a better service, and that you have to, in order to succeed, you also know that you have to balance budgets. You have to meet a payroll. You have to deal with an increasingly tougher set of regulations coming out of Washington. And you, last but not least, you have to pray that Washington and Austin don't do anything else to make life tougher for you. The business leaders in this room And especially the ones that we're honoring today are folks that get it. Through hard work and dedication, superior leadership, and motivated employees, you're succeeding in one of the toughest business environments in American history. And I want to say that I'm humbled to represent folks like you in Congress today. Folks like the small businesses represented in this luncheon represent over 90% of all businesses in this country, and they're responsible for about half of the nation's economic output. Depending on the year, small businesses like yours produce 60 to 80% of the new jobs created in this country each year. The Small Business Administration recently ran a study and determined that over the last 20 years, small businesses have generated 63% of the new jobs in this country. And I think given that these statistics, it's fair to say that businesses, that if small businesses are thriving, that the economy is strong. And I think the converse is true, that if small businesses are struggling, the economy is not going to do well. Because small businesses, again, are the engine for us to create an American economy that produces better jobs and, more jobs and better paychecks for hardworking American families. Now, I want to come back to where I started before. We had the bad. I want to talk about the good things that are happening in Washington today. We all know that small businesses are widely supported by Americans. We have a preference. If we can do business with a large company or a small company, we have a preference toward doing it with our local small businesses. Small businesses, whether they're here in the Brazos Valley or anywhere in this country, could use some help coming out of Washington. And I have some good news to report. It's not perfect, but it's better than it has been. Let me say this at the outset. I think one of the best things Washington could do is get out of the way of our small businesses. And so that you can grow and you can succeed. You can come up with that next great idea and you can produce that better product or you can deliver that better service for your customers and deliver more value for your owners and deliver a healthy career opportunity for your employees and a better life for their families. That's what Washington needs to think about. And so in Congress, my House colleagues and I are working on solutions that bring economic development and job growth to the Brazos Valley. And through the development and implementation of what I call Main Street solutions, we can improve these economic opportunities. We do this by working together with the business leaders and the employers in the Brazos Valley and other small businesses across the nation. And when we do this, we can, as I say before, create more jobs and better paychecks. You're going to hear that theme again and again and again for hardworking American families. Now, since I was first elected to the 17th Congressional District of Texas, I voted on several hundred bills to dial back the regulatory regime in Washington that's hindering job growth and hurting our economy. We didn't have much help from the Senate. Over the course of those two terms in Congress, about 600 bills went to the Senate and died. But we've got a little different environment in Washington today. I guess it's not perfect. I'm not totally comfortable with it yet, but it's getting better. So just in the last 5 months, we passed these common sense solutions. The Death Tax Repeal Act, which permanently repeals the estate tax. The Promoting Job Creation and Reducing Small Business Burdens Act, which makes it easier for small and emerging businesses to access capital and reduces the regulatory burdens from the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul. The American Small Business Tax Relief Act, which makes permanent and expands the tax provisions that allow businesses to immediately deduct the cost of purchasing new equipment. The American Research and Competitiveness Act, which simplifies and makes permanent the research and development tax credit, making it easier for businesses to invest, innovate, and create more American jobs. The Save American Workers Act, which repeals the current 30-hour work week definition of full-time employment in Obamacare and restores the traditional 40-hour work week. The Regulatory Accountability Act, which eliminates costly and overreaching federal regulations and ensures that the executive branch will adopt the least costly method to effectively implement all of our laws. And the Bureau of Financial Consumer Protection Advisory Boards Act, which would establish a small business committee to advise regulators throughout the throughout the rulemaking process when it comes to the regulation of our community banks. In addition to those, we've had some other initiatives that have either recently passed or in the process or underway of making it through what we call the regular order legislative process in Washington, and those are as follows. For those of you that are healthcare providers in this room, we permanently repealed the flawed Medicare Sustainable Growth Rate mechanism, commonly known to some of you as SGR. The rest of you don't know what planet I'm on, but those of you that are doctors know what I'm talking about. That is gone. This has lifted an incredible burden of uncertainty from particularly our small practitioners and medical providers in the community and across the nation. My committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee, is working on a 21st century energy policy that's called the Architecture of Abundance. A lot of this, what's going into this big piece of legislation, come from ideas that Governor Bobby Jindal and I put together when we co-wrote an energy strategy last year called Organizing for Abundance, Making American Energy Superpower. So you can see that the closest in the titles, the committee calls it Architecture of Abundance. We called ours Organizing for Abundance. It's not quite copyright violation, but they got close. But anyway, it's common sense solutions develop a 21st century all-the-above American strategy for the country. The Judiciary Committee is working on patent reform and immigration guest worker reform, because many of you tell me you can't get enough employees to help run your businesses. We also have the House Armed Services Committee has drafted, and the House has just passed a new National Defense Authorization Act to deal with the national security risks that we face in the world today, which gets the military back to the what it needs to in terms of dealing with the heightened sense of risk that we have. The Education and Workforce Committee is working on a rewrite of the flawed No Child Left Behind Act, which turns our nation's educational functions back to our state and local school administrators and our teachers, because they know better how to educate our kids than a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington. And later this week, we're going to vote, and this one's a little more controversial, but I'm going to vote for it. We're going to vote on trade promotion authority in order to come up with a fast-track way to create free and fair trade for our nation's businesses. We in Texas are the nation's top exporter of goods and services and products. This is important for Texas. It's important for this community. And so we're going to vote on trade promotion authority on Friday of this week. Stay tuned on that. And there are more Main Street solutions. I can't go through all of them, but there's a lot of things that we're working on in Congress. We have some better sense of bipartisanship. Again, it's not better than not perfect, but it's better than it has been over my first 4 years in Congress, and I'm happy to see that. These activities by the House of Representatives, some of which have actually taken place in the Senate also, represent part of our overarching priority to help small businesses and to improve economic opportunities for hardworking American families. Not more big government, bureaucratically driven solutions. It's time that we lead America on a path that restores our promise and prosperity and security for current and future generations. Now, it's also important to note the other benefits that come when you have a healthy economy and you've got businesses that are growing and they're creating more jobs and better paychecks. And here's what those are. And we know this in the real world. We know that the best safety net program designed by a society is a good paycheck from a stable job. And these jobs and paychecks do the following. They house our families, they feed our families, they educate our families, they grow our local tax base, they create a vibrant middle class. There is no federal entitlement program, there is no amount of food stamps that will do the same thing that jobs and paychecks will do. And that's the way we lift families out of poverty. That's the way we allow them to grab that first rung of economic opportunity in this country. And so that's what we need to try to do in Congress. We need to recognize that fact and act accordingly. And as I begin to wrap up, I'd like to talk about service for a minute. You know, Rotary International's motto of service above self is truly a guiding principle for everyone to live by. Over the last few months, I've been asked to speak at a lot of commencements, not only here at Texas A&M, but also at high schools around the state. And each time, in each of these speeches, I always challenge the graduates to go live meaningful lives and to serve their communities and do their part to add value to the world. And I tell them it's not always done through financial resources. It's done through sweat equity also by service. And too often we see many generations that are focused inwardly and totally engrossed in self. But when you look back and see what the Bryan Rotary's done since it was chartered in 1921, we see a totally different picture, because our Rotarians recognize that they have the responsibility to serve others and to make the world a better place. And can you imagine what the nation would be like today if everyone in Washington followed the Rotary's 4-way test? In particular, I wish that everyone in Congress, before we voted on something, would look at this and say, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Well, we could stand some of that. And will it be beneficial to all concerned? How cool will that be? It really would. So I want to thank I want to congratulate today's winners. I can't wait to see who you are. I want to thank the Bryan Rotary for your commitment to serving the Brazos Valley. Your service adds to the well-being and enhances the health of the Brazos Valley, the great state of Texas, the United States of America. And as I close every discussion with audiences, I always ask the same things. Please remember to pray for our country during these difficult times. Please remember to pray for those military men and women that protect us from external threats. Please remember to pray for our first responders that protect us from threats here at home. Since I was elected in 2010, we have lost 24 of those types of folks that go out the door to serve overseas or to serve their community, and they haven't come back home. So please remember that so we can enjoy afternoons like that, because they allow us to enjoy afternoons like this. Thank you, and God bless you.